I don't know if you brought your sheets, Bibles, it's on the top, you'll see Bible Survey of Jesus Discipleship Lesson 2. If you have those, pull those out. I know that we have some in the back there. If you look through and you don't find yours, then raise your hand. We have some for you. I want to encourage you as we go through this, keep these in your Bibles until we complete them, and then you'll get another one, okay? Raise your hand if you need one. This is lesson number 2. Lesson number 2. Like I said, if you can, try to keep them. That would be a blessing. If it looks like we need to make more copies, you can go back and make some more copies, Zach. Hold your hand up if you need one. We're happy to get you one. Go ahead and keep one, Zach, because I know that there's some over here that wanted one. So go ahead and raise your hand if you want one. Okay, he'll be right back. He's going to make a few more. He'll get some more here in just a moment. But lesson number 2 on Bible, we're taking a Bible survey of Jesus' discipleship. And so excited about what God is going to do with this. My family we've had a fair amount of conversations concerning discipleship and be praying that God would lead us to what is right. And so anyway, we looked at some parallel passages a few weeks ago in Matthew chapter 3. We have Mark chapter 1 and then Luke chapter 3. Go ahead and take your Bibles and go to Luke. This is the one that we are focusing on here for just a moment. We will be here and then we will be heading to probably what we're doing. How many of you in here have a chronological Bible? Raise your hand if you have a chronological Bible. Just keep your hands up. Okay, you can put your hands down. Okay, I counted less than 15 people, and I'm not saying, you know, you have to have one. I would encourage you to get one. You don't have to have one, but it helps. We are going to be going through a little bit of a chronology in Jesus because we're only hitting the highlights of his discipleship, his time with the disciples. And so we're going to go through this. And so a lot of times it's going to be like at the top of your notes there, you'll see some parallel passages. You'll see Matthew, you'll see Mark, you'll see Luke. Sometimes you'll see John in there. And so we're going to go through those. And I want to encourage you, maybe you'll bring those. You don't have to bring them because I'll have all the passages that we'll go through. But it is, if you're going to track us through this, I will be using that. I will be going through. There's some different chronological Bibles that are out there. And so, you know, I don't know which one's better. I have Reese's chronological Bible. I don't know all the ones that are out there because I've not experimented with a bunch of them. I think one is good. They're not all going to be exactly the same. They are going to be a little bit different if you've ever experimented with that. And so, all right, raise your hand. Zach's got some more copies. Who would like one? I think we should have plenty, so if you want one, get your hand up, he'll get you one. But anyway, we're going to be going through this because we're not going through all of the Gospels, but we are just hitting the highlights of the times when Jesus is discipling, okay? And so that's a lot of the second half of the Gospels. Okay, does everybody have one that wants one? Okay. Great. Thank you, Zach, for doing that. All right, let's look down at this. I'm going to quickly go down through and catch you up on the blanks and just talk a little bit on this. Let's go ahead and look at, remember this passage when Jesus this is really the beginning of his public ministry. He's going to get started in here. And so Matthew 3, Mark 1, and Luke 3 record this. Luke only in chapter 3 gives us two verses, 21 and 22. So Luke chapter 3. Verses 21 and 22. I'll go ahead and read those right now. Luke 3, 21 and 22. Now when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. And then you see in verse 23, and Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age. And so this is when a chronology, or a, you know, a just, you know, who he was and the people following and where he comes from is going to happen here. But this is really going to start his ministry. There's been really 30 years of mostly silence, and now Jesus is going to launch out, and he's going to give 12 men about 3 years until he goes to the cross. And in that time, he makes a major impact that these men, yes, they'll turn, yes, they'll run, but they will come back, except for Judas, of course. And these 11 men are going to come back, and they are going to be used, and these disciples are going to be used to share the gospel with other people and to see the world turned upside down and for the gospel. In fact, we owe these men following Jesus Christ, we owe these men, where we're at. Of course, God. We know it's God. But it was their efforts that God used. And of course, it all starts really right here in Luke chapter 3, verses 21 and 22, when there's a commissioning, of course, by the Father and through the Holy Ghost to Jesus Christ. Let's look at some of these blanks just to catch you up. And so we're talking about Jesus' baptism. What did it symbolize? First of all, his submission to the will of the Father. Second of all, his substitution for man to fulfill all righteousness. Thirdly, commission to seek and to save the lost of the world. Maybe I'm going too fast for some of you. Submission, substitution, commission. Number four, position under the power of the Holy Spirit. And then number five, identification as the Son of God. Let me give you those again. Why did Jesus get baptized? Did Jesus need to be baptized for something spiritual so that he could get anything? Of course not. He was the Son of God, but he did it for submission to the will of the Father. He did it for substitution for mankind. He did it and was commissioned to seek and to save the lost world. Fourthly, in position under the power of the Holy Spirit. And then fifthly, identification as the Son of God. It was a big deal, and so much would be at stake. And so we're talking about discipleship here. Three things, the result from his prayer that we see here in this passage. Number one, heaven was opened. Heaven was opened. There's a first blank. Heaven was opened. Second of all, the Holy Ghost came down. So heaven was opened. We see God's blessing on humanity. Second of all, the Holy Ghost came down. We see God's power. And then thirdly, God's voice. God's voice endorsing his Son. So thirdly, we see God's authority. So God's blessing, God's power, and God's authority. And those are the next three blanks. The next three things that we will need for discipleship: we need God's blessing, or the windows of heaven being opened. Second, we need God's power, God's Holy Ghost power. And then thirdly, we need people to see God's authority in our witness and involvement to them in their lives. And how did it start? What separated Luke's rendition, his perspective, than Matthew and Mark? It was prayer. He started with prayer. And who remembers the assignment that I gave you last time we were here? What were we to do? We were to pray. To pray. Yes, for discipleship. Now, I'm not going to ask you how many of you did your assignment, but I do ask you not to raise your hand. Are you praying? Can I just tell you that if we are not going to pray, if we're not going to pray about it, we will not receive these things. We're not going to see God work through it. We will not be effective at discipling. If we're not effective at discipling, then we will be disobedient to God's command to us. It's just as simple as that, folks. It's how serious are we going to get to see God do his work? Is God capable of using us to turn the world upside down? Is God capable of winning everyone in the world to him? Now, that is not a trick question. That is a real question. Is God capable of winning everyone to him? He is. Now, we know that some men are going to reject, right? We know the scriptures teach, that broad is the way, and narrow. We know to the Lord it's a narrow path. We know that broad is the way of the world. We know that. And so can we conclude that there's probably going to be people that aren't going to trust in Jesus Christ? For sure. And you know many of these people that are not choosing to follow Christ. But that doesn't mean that that's God's will. It doesn't mean that God's not capable of doing it. I want to tell you, we have an outlook in our circles today that looks at the world, and you know what we say? It's impossible and it will never happen, and so why try? And we don't. And that is very sad, because God is very capable of doing it, and God chooses to use us. God could just automatically just choose to save everyone, but he doesn't do that. He's given it to human will to choose to trust in Jesus Christ. He's made it that way. And so every person has a decision, and God has ordained that their belief is introduced to them through people. God uses people to help people come to Christ. That's just God's way. Now, you might not like that. Boy, wouldn't it have been easier if God would have just got everybody saved, but God wouldn't get the glory that he gets. He could have just done it, but God gets glory when he sees people willfully turn to him, and he chooses to use people to do that. Don't forget that. God chooses to use people to get the message to other people that need to hear the gospel. And so what Jesus did is he got the message to 12 people. 11 people took that message. 11 compared to the amount of people in the world even back then, probably very small. But did it work? It did work. Folks, it did work. Can it work today? Does multiplication work? It does. And it's far better than addition and subtraction. Multiplication works. And how we do that is we go to few, we invest in few so that many can be reached. That was Jesus' method, and that's what we want to do. But if we're going to do what Jesus did, I will tell you, we must do it the way Jesus did it. And he began by prayer. He recognized that this was a big event, and so he went to the Father in prayer. And as he was in prayer, then the Father did all those things that we just said. He commissioned him and empowered him to do the work. Okay, so I gave you a challenge and I gave you a task. I want you to begin praying about some things. Now, tonight is going to help us to know some specifics on what to pray for. I commissioned you last time to begin praying. You might be saying, what are we really praying for? Tonight's going to help answer that question, okay? So we find our first assignment in prayer. And you go to the other side, I guess. I don't know if yours is late. Is the next set on your other side? Okay. So go to the back side, okay? And we're coming. This is based upon what we just read, okay? So kind of, it's too bad we didn't get to finish last time what we started, because really these are just some practical applications of what we looked at last time. Remember, as Jesus prayed, three things happened. Heaven was opened, and of course, indicating God's blessing. Secondly, the Holy Ghost came down. That's indicating God's power. And thirdly, God's voice endorsing his Son. This is God's authority. This back side of the page is really taking these three things and helping us to know how to pray. So tonight is going to be very, very, very practical. I just want to give you some things. So here's the assignment is given for you to begin to pray, and I am commissioning you. I'm asking you, would you please begin to pray? Write it down somewhere where you're not going to forget, because I guarantee that some of you would say, Pastor, I forgot that you commissioned us to do that. I forgot that you challenged us to do that. Okay, no problem. We're in a game of second chances. All right, you've got a second chance here. I'm asking you, would you begin to pray? It is my burden that we follow in discipleship, but it has to begin. I'm going to ask you, is this a big thing for Faith Bible Church? Was it a big thing for Jesus? It was, and you all benefit from it. It was a big undertaking. It was a big deal. In fact, really, it's the core of the gospel. It's the core of reproduction. It's the result in who we are. Do we have a burden that the world gets saved? Do you have neighbors that need to hear? How many of you have neighbors in here that need the gospel? I can't imagine anybody not raising your hand unless you're in the middle of the country without any neighbors, okay? Okay, so many of us have neighbors that need the gospel. It'd be very few situations where you say, man, I don't have any neighbors. That they all know the gospel. They have the gospel. They've trusted in Christ. We've got neighbors. How many of you have relatives that need to hear the gospel? Okay? And I know, this is just, we could go through this and we're all going to raise our hands. Because are there people around us that need to hear the gospel? Yes. People, and is that a big deal? What's at stake? Somebody tell me, what's at stake about people hearing the gospel? Eternity, and what? Tell me more about eternity. What's it, what will they experience if they don't trust Christ?
Eternal suffering, eternal loneliness.
Eternal a lot, right? It's none of it's good. Folks, do you realize how big of a deal that is? Have you ever taken the time to stop and think? I want to tell you, there's been a lot of people in my life that have passed away, and many people that have known Christ, and many people that have not. And there was, for some reason, when our tour guide, Shimon, passed away, I'll tell you what, it hit me like a ton of bricks. Thinking about somebody that went, that made it a mission to speak of Yeshua, that as far as I know, never trusted him. And now, if no miracle, and maybe it did happen, I pray to God that it did, but if nothing happened, that man, that I don't even like to name it, I don't even like to think about it, but picture for a moment what he's going through. And if you have any sort of a heart, that should rip your heart to shreds. You know what I'm talking about? Isn't that devastating to think about eternity and hell? Now, the point is not to scare us into it. It's to prove a point. Is this a big deal? It's a big deal, folks. And if we don't figure out a way to do it, then there are going to be many people's lives at stake. And so we've got to get it out there. It sounds like soul winning, but honestly, discipleship, as I say, was a bigger deal. How do we get it out to the world? And so we need to pay attention. We need to pray. Here's some specifics that we need to pray for. And we're going to divide it into the three elements, okay? We're going to divide it into the three elements that we already went over. First of all, that heaven be opened up. And so we're praying for the windows of heaven to open up with God's blessing. And there's a blank there, with God's blessing. Discipleship will never happen without God's pouring out of his blessing. We are praying for blessing. Do you acknowledge that? Do you know that your neighbor, your relative, your friend will never get saved apart from God's blessing? We need God's blessing. God has to pour himself out so that person will see that they need to receive Christ. Apart from that, humanity will not come to Christ. Is it important that we pray for God's blessing? God, would you bless my neighbor? God, would you bless that relative? God, would you bless that coworker? God, your blessing we need. Did the windows of heaven need to open up for Jesus to do his ministry? The answer is yes, because it did. That's what God's plan was, is that he would open up and it was made available. God saw fit to help humanity come to himself. And so he sent his son. He commissioned his son. Could we have come to God without Jesus Christ? No, that's a blessing from God. Don't think for a moment that we deserve it. Folks, we do not deserve it. Of our own accord, we have chosen to go against God and to do our own thing. We, in a sense, chose hell for ourselves. It's only because of God's blessing that he says, listen, in spite of whoever you are, in spite of them, I will bless them anyway. Isn't God a good God? He's chosen to bless us in spite of us. Don't think for a moment that you would have chosen God on your own. You would not have. You would not have chosen God on your own. It's only because God gave us his mercy, gave us his grace. And so we beg God, we need your blessing in this. This is the first thing we pray for. God, we need your blessing. Blessings for what? Let's go through a list of things here. First of all is to share the burden. Here's the first prayer request under blessing. God, I'm asking for your blessing as the pastor, share the burden, and that you get the burden so that you share the burden with me. My burden is that all of us receive that burden, that you, when we get done with the study, are very burdened to be involved in depositing and giving to other people's lives so that they can be brought closer to the Lord, whether through salvation or through sanctification. That the burden goes from God to Christ to me, or to, I should say to one of the apostles, to, and on down the list, to me, to you, so that we all have it. Do you think that that's a valid thing to pray for? God, would you give me a burden? God, burden me that I would share this burden to get to disciple other people so that the burden would be shared. We need to pray for that. And I'm going to submit to you that if we're not serious about praying for it, we will see it go nowhere. Oh, if I could just give that to you. We need to pray. That's why God, that's why Christ was doing it. We need it. He found himself in a huge time. The windows of heaven would be open, and they did. So we have the burden. Next is claim the word. Claim the word. Oh, so many, if we had time to go into the scriptures, and maybe we will as we go through the study. But is there a lot of word? When I say word, Bible. Is there a lot of Bible that shares with us the power of the gospel from one person to another that has the ability to change a life so that they have a destination in heaven and that they have a life that's holy and acceptable to the Lord? Do we have evidence in the Word that tells us that God's Word is capable of changing a life? We have much evidence. And so what we need is we need to ask God's blessing so that we can claim that Word. We can claim it for ourselves. And listen, why am I doing this? Because I am grounded upon the fact that God said this and that he would do this and that he can have the power to change people's lives. I want you to think about your neighbors, your friends, your coworkers. You know, and some of you have some coworkers, some of these people in your life, and you say, I don't know how anything could happen to that. I want you to think about people that you say, I don't even know how in the world that this person could ever come to Christ. You have some people that you think of? Go ahead, I want you to raise your hand. How many of you have thought of some people right now? You said it would just be, now remember, we know that it'd be nothing, every person coming to Christ would be nothing short of a miracle. I'm talking about the hardcore ones that you say, I don't see how there's any human way that anybody, this person come to Christ. How many of you have somebody like that you're thinking of? Okay, there's a lot more. There's people in your life and you're saying, Pastor, humanly speaking, I look at that and I say, there's no way that they're gonna come to Christ. Okay, now we know that that's not true though, isn't it? Is it possible for that person to come to Christ? So what is it going to take? It's going to take God's blessing with a word, right? And that we would trust that word, that we would be grounded upon that word, that we would claim the word. No, wait a second. God says that it's the power of God unto salvation, right? It's the power. God's word can change a life. Do you believe it? Well, we need to claim that. We need to really believe that. We go on to the next. So we claim the word. We share the burden. We claim the word. We plead for blessing. Maybe that sounds redundant, but right in the middle there, we plead for blessing. God, would you bless? God, would you bless? And I think the point that I wrote this here in the middle was that it is a blessing. It's not deserved. It's a blessing. God, would you? He doesn't have to. Would you? Would you be willing to bless? Would you be willing to bless us as we endeavor to give the truth to people? Next, prepare to receive it. You know, I think that if we're asking God for blessing, we ought to prepare to receive it. Does it make sense to pray for something and not expect it? Aren't we there, though, many times? God, would you do this? But I don't think you're going to do it. And in fact, I think Brother Jed mentioned that this morning, didn't he? A lot of times we're asking God, you know, we don't believe God. We have these prayers. We want this to happen, but we really don't believe that God's going to do it or he can do it. And so it's not a faith at all. You know, we need to expect, if you're praying for rain, then you should expect rain. A person of faith is going to carry his umbrella out because he prayed for it. He's expecting that it's going to rain. We need to be expecting the windows of heaven to open up and that God is going to provide people for us to disciple and bring people to himself. Expect it. Look for it. I have found in my life that when I'm not looking for it, then I'm not doing anything and I never get any results. I have a completely different day out when I go out with the mentality of, hey, I would like to find somebody today to share the gospel with or to give a tract to. I really would like to do that. The days that I go out, I often find those people. And they're not hard to find. But if I'm not thinking of it, guess what I don't find? Because I'm not looking for it. I'm not expecting it. I'm not expecting anything to happen from this, and so therefore, nothing happens. Folks, we ought to be expecting rain. We ought to be expecting this, and so that's what we pray for. We want the windows of heaven opened up. We want blessing. Prepare to receive it. Prepare to receive it. And then lastly, expect. That's kind of the same thing. Prepare to receive and expect His blessing. I believe that God is going to do this. I believe it. I'm expecting it. God is going to give the fruits. And I can say this, that I expect that God is going to bless this church, that we move forward in discipleship, that we as a body will get to the point to where people are doing it on their own. That's my goal, is that you folks will be doing discipleship with people in your lives. That's the goal, and we're expecting that, okay? So burden, word, blessing, receive, expect, okay? That's the first with discipleship. We are asking for God's blessing. As you go to God in prayer this week, in the next many weeks, would you say, God, Jesus prayed and the windows of heaven, God's blessing, was opened up. God seeing the need of humanity and saying, I am willing to bless them. Would you pray for God's blessing? God bless us. Specifically, go through this. God, give us the burden. God, would you help us to claim your word? God, would you, and go through that list. Let's go to the next thing. We're going to be out of time here shortly. All right, the next one is we're praying for power. So we're praying for blessing. We're praying for power, okay? We're praying for the power of the Holy Ghost to bring people to Christ. Discipleship will never happen without His power. And so we are praying for this. We're praying for His power. Again, without God's blessing, we will not see discipleship happen. You say, what's the difference between blessing and power? Well, blessing is God's heart. Power is God's strength and ability. Folks, you know what? Without God's power, it's impossible for people to come to Christ. It's impossible to bring people to Christ. And so we want to pray that power. And the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's go through a list of things here. They're not going to be, you're going to understand them. It's not rocket science here. I think you would probably be able to fill them out on your own. But first of all, God's power to create opportunities. God's power to create opportunities. God knows what people are going through. Does God care about your coworker that doesn't know Christ? Does God care about them? Yes, He does. Do you know that God loves them just as much as He loves you? We kind of think that because we have the corner of the market, that because we obey and we do right and we go to church, we kind of think that for some reason God loves us more. But folks, we need to get over the fact that that's not the truth. God loves the wicked worldly people out there just as much as He loves us. God loves them. And we need to pray for opportunities that God would give us with these people, because it's very difficult just to go out there and find people. I mean, we don't know what people are going through. But it's great to pray for opportunities. God, would you put these people in a position that they see a need so that I can come alongside, and they have a need and I will be there to help them with that need? Do you pray for opportunities for discipleship? Be praying. And it's not just the lost. It's not just the world. It's right here in our church. Be praying for opportunities that God would send His power to create a situation that you would be talking with them, and it would, the lights would come on and say, hey, I can help this person with this. That's what we need to be praying for, opportunities. Are you praying for opportunities? That's what God wants us to do. Pray for opportunities to receive God's power. God's power to create opportunities. Do you think that God would like to, if you had a heart, you know, if you're going to take this and you say, you know, I really want to be involved in this discipleship. I think it can be exciting. I don't know how I can do it. I'm scared to do it, but I'm willing to do it. I want to disciple someone. If God, do you think that if you desired it and prayed for it, and if you even went as far as to say, God, would you create opportunities for me to identify somebody that I can spiritually be a blessing to you? Do you think that that's the sort of prayer that God would see fit to answer? In fact, is there any way that God would not want to answer that? Why? Let's talk real here. Why? Why is that something that I can have 100% faith that God would answer? This is His will. Is there any way that it's not His will? Is there anybody that is exempt from God seeking and pulling them to Himself, pulling them to the Father? There's not, folks. And so it is within God's will. And if it's within God's will, what do we know from Scripture? If we pray in God's will, what will He do? You have it. Wow, that's pretty powerful, isn't it? That's powerful. I don't know that I can pray tonight for a house for tomorrow and that God will give me a house tomorrow. I don't know that I can do that. But I know that I can pray for opportunities and God will do it. You see, we're not expecting or looking for this. That's why we don't. Opportunities abound. God creates. We need to pray for it. Let's move on. God's power to create opportunities. Number two, God's power to provide time and energy. God's power to provide time and energy to do it. We are going to come back to this. One of the biggest obstacles that we face in 2026 is time. And you're going to hear it 100 times from me. I'm going to submit to you, then we're too busy. Because we cannot say, God, I didn't have the time. That is not an excuse. We will not get by with that. God is not going to accept us to say, you know, God, you know you had me doing a lot of things in life and I couldn't do that. And He's going to say, yeah, you were one of the busy ones. No, that, you're okay. Folks, I'm going to tell you, that is not an option. It is a part of the Great Commission that we all need to be investing into people to bring people to Christ. There's not an excuse to say we don't have time. But do we need to pray to God to give us the time that we need? Yeah, we do. We need to pray because we are living in a busy culture. Our society is very busy, and it is hard for us to look at what we have and say, how do I have time for this? The bigger question is how do we not have time for this? Folks, we've got to get serious about what we're doing in life. Why are we here? If we will not take time for people, I believe we lose. We will lose not to take time. And I'm going to submit to you here, we're going to see it happen in action in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But I submit to you that if we are too busy for those people in our lives that God has put around us, if we are too busy for those people, then we are forfeiting and we are saying no to God's commissioning to disciple people. And I am determined as a pastor that it's time to begin much discipleship going on here. We've got to get going on this. We've got to invest in people's lives. Investing in people's lives. So time. But should we be praying? God, you know that I'm a busy person. God, would you help me to discover what's important? Now, we're probably going to break this down in another time, but it's good for us to go through priorities. We might have some examples and some illustrations of what it means to prioritize life. Because some of us are so busy, we can honestly say, you know, Pastor, I'm telling you the truth. I want a disciple, but I honestly don't know how I'm going to do it. And it's not easy. I'm not just telling you, you need to sacrifice and do it. You know, we're going to have to take a step back and analyze everything in our lives and write them all down and look and prioritize them and say, what's most important for God? What's most important for the things that God has given me? And we're going to have, when we get down to the end, I'm telling you, we're probably going to have to cross out some things. We're probably going to have to sacrifice and cross out some things so that we do now have the time and energy to make sure and give to people. Okay? Now, I'm just going to say it again. That doesn't mean sacrificing and saying no to your family to go reach other people, okay? That's why we're going to go through priorities. We'll look at the priorities and see what Jesus did with his priorities. Okay, but we need to continue on as our time is out. God's power to come up with ideas. You know, you say, how? And even my family, my kids, you know, we've been talking about this, but how do you do? What do you mean? And I want to dive into it and give the answers to them. And I say, I want to go through this first. I want to just discover from the Word. But ideas, how can we do this? How can I disciple somebody? Do I just walk up to say, you know, I would like to be your discipler. I would like to teach you. You know, I don't know if that's going to go very well, you know, to somebody. I want to teach you. But as I was, you know, talking to one of my children just recently, so, you know, how do I do this? You know, it starts with prayer. It starts with prayer. You know, maybe, and I'm just giving you some examples, maybe you would just pray. Pray for opportunities. Pray for circumstances to happen. But go and pray, and that God would create a situation. But begin by just asking, you know, asking people, is there anything I can pray for you about? Maybe they'll give some things, you know, and as they give you them, you know, then maybe through the week, then you can say, you know, I'm praying for you about this. You know, God brought to mind some verses that can maybe help you. And you begin to share scripture with them concerning their prayer requests. And before long, you're coming alongside, your arm around them, and you're praying for them. You're giving them scripture. You know what that is? Anybody have a name for it? It's called discipleship. See, we think that discipleship is some big, crazy thing. Honestly, discipleship is that paraclete, that coming along somebody else's, coming to aid next to somebody else and helping them carry the burden. You say, oh, Pastor, I didn't realize that it was something that simple. Do you realize that I believe that probably many of you are discipling people in a very simple way? It's just that we need to bring this in a bigger way. We need to all be doing it. But that's what it means. And so we're praying for God's power to come up with ideas. How can I do this? And what I gave you was just one idea. There's all kinds of different ways. And I've got a lot of ideas. Melissa and I have spent a lot of time brainstorming some things that we can do with you, and to get away and to do some things that we just get to come alongside you and carry your burdens and be a help to you in what you're going through. And I can't, to tell you the truth, I can't wait, and it's going to be fun doing some of these things. And so, but pray for ideas. We'll talk more about that later. God's power to receive boldness. God's power to receive boldness. You know, honestly, sometimes these things aren't so natural and normal for us to do, but God can give us boldness to step out of our comfort zone and to approach somebody and to talk to somebody and help somebody spiritually. We get scared to do it, but what a blessing that it can be. The courage to take the next step to reach out into somebody else's life. God's power to open hearts. Who alone has the ability to open up that neighbor's heart? Only God, through the Holy Spirit. Only God can open up their hearts. Only God can make the opportunities. Only God can do this. But we pray for that boldness. We pray for open hearts. I think that makes sense. Pray. And by the way, these are things that I really want you to specifically pray for. Pray for these things. Go down through the list. Pray for open hearts. Pray for God's power to recall and give out truth. You know, how many of us think that we know so much of Scripture? Many of us would say, man, if I get in a conversation, I don't know what verses I'll say. You know, and if I were to quiz you, you know, okay, somebody has this, what verses would you give? And maybe there'd be a few, give some verses. First of all, we do need to know God's Word more, okay? Many of us are very inadequate of helping people because we don't have God's truth. But can I say this? God has an amazing ability to recall verses to mind that you need in such a time as this. And it will blow your mind at how much He will give you verses that you didn't even realize that you had tucked away. Verses that you memorized as a child, that all of a sudden somebody's talking and God just gives you a verse. And you say, wow, I forgot about that verse. And you're able to give it. That's the power of God. We need to be praying that God would give us that remembering of these verses. And so, that we could recall and give out the truth. Next, God's power to convince and convict people. Of course, we cannot do that. And by the way, don't you try to be the convincer or the convictor of the person. Who? What's the title of the one that was given to? That's the Holy Spirit. You know, many of us try to be a Holy Spirit to a spouse or the Holy Spirit to a child. We try to be the Holy Spirit to a neighbor or a friend. We try to take on the role of the Holy Spirit. My friends, we cannot be the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit that needs to do it, not you. We think that we have to give every reason in the book of why this is true and why that. Do you even realize you don't have to prove the Bible to people? Do you know that God is capable of convincing men of the truth of the Bible on His own? Do you realize you don't have to take 100 apologetics courses and come up with every reason of how I can prove the world's existence and how God's existence? You don't need to do that. God can do it on His own. And you know the best thing to do rather than take 100 apologetics courses is to simply pray. God, Would you convict neighbor so-and-so of the truth of the Word of God? It doesn't mean that you can't give some apologetics, because God does say to study the truth, to give an answer to every man that asketh. But I'm telling you that it lies within the power of the Holy Spirit to do that work, to convict and to convince men of their sin. Next, we need to be praying for a power for people to be delivered from their sin and to be victorious. God can do that. And He's done it in the past, and He's doing it now, and He'll do it in the future. We need to be praying for God to do that special work, and we need to be praying for God's power to bind Satan from interfering. God, would you bind Satan from interfering? God, this individual has this in their lives. They've got this. God, would you bind Satan? Would you bind that obstacle so that the truth can be given and these people can understand what is right? And this goes for unsaved and saved people in their lives. And so we've got the windows of heaven to open up. We've got the power of the Holy Ghost. And lastly, we're praying for people to see and identify the authority of God in their lives. Discipleship will never happen without the recognition of God's authority. And so we're praying that people would see God, that this is from God, that this is not a man-made religion, that this is not something from a church. No, this is God. I want to tell you folks, this is one of the biggest things that our culture and society needs, is they need to recognize that this is God, not religion. In fact, religion is a turnoff to people these days. I just want to tell you that. Just know this. Religion is a turnoff. Even church is a turnoff. You know why? Because they see a lot of people that claim it and they don't see God. Isn't that a rebuke? What should people see in us? The power and character of God. But I think a lot of churches, a lot of Christians are living without it. They're not demonstrating it and they don't see it. All they see us is acting the same way when we get the flat tire, when we lose out, when we don't have this, and we're weeping and crying and complaining and all this stuff, and they say, you know what, that person is just like me, they have nothing on me. Why would I go to their church? Why would I follow them with what they're doing? Because they react the same way as I do to everything else. They don't see God. They're not seeing God. We need to be praying that they would identify God in this, that it's not a church, it's not a religion, it's not just somebody that's trying to get me to come there so they can up their attendance. You know, if the world sees that, they'll never set foot in this place. We're not trying to put a notch in our belt. We're trying to pull people to Jesus. We're trying to see that God is good for you. Even a Christian, you know, a young person in this room, God is good for you, and God can help you overcome this. You don't have to struggle with this. And so we're praying. We're praying for that people will recognize God's authority. And so that's the first, the authority of God. So there's four things that will be done here. So we're praying for God's authority. First of all, is what I just went into, is His reality. People seeing the reality of God. You know, what we ought to be praying for is the people that we're rubbing shoulders with, whether it's work, home, neighbors, wherever it is, that they would recognize as the reality of God. Like, oh boy, there's something different about those people that the love of Christ is showing through. There's something different. I see God's power. It's the miracles of what God is doing in their lives. Just look at how they're able to face life. You see, they cannot resist the power of God. But what they do resist is the lack of the power of God. You wonder why people are not responding to Jesus Christ these days is because they're not seeing much power of God. They're not seeing it through our lives. Maybe it's because we're not just sharing with them. Maybe it's because we're not identifying the power of God in ourselves, because we're living the way we want to live and we're not seeing the power of God. And I don't know, but a lot of people are not seeing the power of God. We need to be willing to share it with them, and we live it so they can see a difference in our lives. So first of all, His reality. Second of all, His Word. Boy, we're praying that people would identify that God's Word is paramount in our lives, that God's Word, you know, they ought to know that those people are the people of the book, those people that are by the Word. Now, you know, it was a struggle. We invited 33 neighbors over to a Bible study, and, you know, only those two ladies that really weren't a part of the community came, and praise the Lord, we had the opportunity. But one of the things that I put on there, we didn't put anything about Faith Bible Church, we didn't put anything about a religion, we didn't put anything about anything, except for the fact that we want to get into the Word of God. And folks, that's really what I want my neighbors to really know me as somebody that we can get into the Word of God. Now, it doesn't mean that we can't identify, and it's even wise to identify. It doesn't mean that we can't bring people to church. But the biggest thing is that they need to see that the Word of God is good for them. The Word of God can change your life, and it can be powerful in your life. And so we need to pray that they would see that the Word of God is a big part of our lives, that we have a rule book, that we have a life-giving book, that we have a guide and a treasure map to give them that can be theirs as well. So we're praying for the authority of His reality, the authority of His Word. Thirdly, the authority of His ability. You know, that, wait a second, God is able to do exceeding abundantly above what we ask or think. That man, those people, their God is amazing. There's so much ability there. We see God do things in their lives that we've never seen before, His ability. And then lastly, their position and their need. Their position, their need. The fact is they lack, that they lack, and that they need God. And we're, again, this sounds so much like we're talking just about the unsaved, but folks, this is the saved as well. People that need Christ. And you've got something that they might not understand that they have, and that they need Him. These are things that we need to be praying for. And so I gave you the assignment last time to pray. I didn't tell you a whole lot of what to pray for. Now, this is a little bit more detailed. Folks, we need to be praying that God would do these things. We're praying for that the windows of heaven be opened up, and we see, you know, certainly God's blessing. Second of all, we need to be praying for power, the power of the Holy Ghost to come down and actually do work, creating so many opportunities. And then lastly, we need to be praying for God's authority, that they would see, wait a second, this is God. I'm going to go out on a limb and say this. If our world around us, if the people around us would see that this is kind of one of these modern terms that people out there, and I don't like modern terms out there. You heard a lot of people say this is a God thing. And I know, whatever, I know what they're talking about. People need to see there's something different here. There's something different. We need to be praying for that. A difference. And of course, 100 messages need to be preached on what that means in our lives. Discipleship. Are we praying? Okay. Really, this is so we're just getting started. Jesus was praying as He was commissioned to go out. And from here on out, now we're going to go down to the ground level, get into Israel, and walk around with Jesus as he goes and go through the different ventures of what He's going to go through and see how discipleship was accomplished. Lord, would You help us as we go through this? I pray that we had learned so much so that we can be effective. God, we would be far ahead if this church would be actively, on an ongoing basis, on a daily basis, weekly basis, if we would be praying, looking, and doing things to come alongside people and bringing them closer to Jesus Christ. God, not stagnant, not just looking out for our own selves, but actually reaching out to other people and helping people to come to Christ. Lord, would You help us in this discipleship? Help us to begin to pray. Pray that You would open up opportunities, open up things, open up all these things that Jesus prayed for, and we saw that the Father answered with, and that amazing things could be accomplished. Lord, we have major, big goals with this. We're asking You to do major things. God, help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.